God's been great this morning because everything has fitted in with what I'm going to speak about. And we're in the middle of our free series. And I'm going to tell you before I start this morning, so I'm coming clean. Oh, hello. Maybe I'm not meant to tell you before I start, but I'm coming clean this morning that I'm going to want a response at the end of what I preach. Okay, so I'm letting you all know that now, all right, so you can get prepared, get ready, because I'm going to want a response as I speak this morning. And the subject I'm going to speak about is not easy, but I'm going to tell you about that in a moment. But I want to tell you a story about my little girl. And Caitlin, most of you know, she's quite feisty, and she'll say what she thinks. And one day, I can't even remember what she'd done, but she'd done something that I didn't quite like. And so there was a consequence to what she had done. And so at night, we say prayers with our kids and we thank God for what he's done during the day and all of that. Every night we do this with our kids without fail. And this one particular night, I was saying prayers with Caitlin. She's laid in her bed. And so, you know, we're praying and she prays for people that she knows that are poorly and all of that kind of stuff. And we're praying and I'd said my prayers because I had to go first. And then I think she thinks I won't say anything else. So we were in the middle of prayers and Kate was saying, thank you, God, for a good day. And she has this thing of praying that we all have a good night's sleep. And then she names nearly all of you. And I pray everyone we know will have a good night's sleep and everyone they know will have a good night's sleep and everyone that they know will have a... And it just goes on. And so we're like, and all of a sudden she turned and she said, and God, I pray mommy will know that I forgive her for being nasty to me. She did. And immediately, I got a comeback in my head, okay? And I was just about to say it, and something of God just stopped me saying it, because even though she was completely wrong, and there we go, I've put it on record now, even though actually what she'd done was wrong, and the consequence that she got was fitting for what she'd done, like she got 5 minutes time out or whatever it was. And even though all of that was okay, I loved the fact that in her heart, she was starting to process this thing of forgiveness. She hasn't quite got it right on this occasion, okay? And I've got to say what was in my head, thankfully, is not what came out of my mouth, okay? Because what was in my head was, but Caitlin, you were wrong. Let's just rehash it all. And go back to what you did, and let me explain why you got the consequence. Like, you know, all of us good parents do that, don't we? Okay, we'd all like to say we don't, but we do. And but instead, there is something in there, and I just went, amen. And God very clearly told me to get my backside out of the room before I opened my mouth anymore. So, amen. Caitlin, I love you. Good night. Sleep well. And mummy's going to go now. And I went downstairs and I just smiled. You know, she had completely kind of got it all wrong. Yet something was beginning to work in her on this whole area of forgiveness. On this whole area of, mummy did something I don't like. And what she hadn't quite got in mind was, it was justified. But mummy did something that I don't like. So therefore, I need to forgive her for that. And it's one of those things where, you know, you use your prayers to let the person you're praying with know exactly what you think of them. I think that's a bit of a genius, thing going on there, okay? And don't say that we don't do it, adults. Kids can be forgiven of it because they don't even know they're doing it, but we do. And sometimes I think we do that as well. But what I want to do this morning, although the context was wrong, and although she kind of got it a bit wrong, there was something that was starting to work in her heart where it comes to, I don't like what you did, now I must forgive you. Which is why I shut my mouth, told her I loved her, then shut my mouth, because I'm not very good at being a ventriloquist, okay? And then got the heck out of there, because in my head, I was going through everything I think I should have said. But actually what God was doing is bringing something up in her that he was going to continue, hopefully, to work on. Yeah. I want to turn us to Matthew 6. We've already read this morning. Thank you so much, Joe. See, Joe says, this is out of my comfort zone, yet nails it. Love that. And it says this in Matthew 6. So this is part of the Sermon on the Mount. And it says this in verse 5, if you want to turn to it. Okay, but I don't think I've got the thines in mine. I'm sorry, I'm an NIV girl. Okay, it says this, and when you pray, Do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. I think some of us Penties need to hear this. Okay, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Yeah. This is Jesus teaching us how to pray. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then it doesn't say the last bit. For thine is the kingdom. There we go. And the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And then Jesus goes on to say these words. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Let's get this. We don't like this verse. But if you do not forgive others their sin, your Father will not forgive your sins. We're going to be talking this morning about being free to forgive. Forgiveness is one of those subjects that brings up a whole load of emotion in all of us, because if we've been on this planet for any length of time, and most of us in this room have, we will have had somebody do something that hurts us. We will have had someone do something to us which offends us. And this morning, I want to talk to you about the whole thing of forgiveness. In my Bible, these are red letter words. Straight from the mouth of Jesus, this. Okay, so this is not someone's interpretation of what God thinks. This is what God thinks. And so this morning, we're going to take a look at this whole area. You see, some things in the Bible leave the Christian world up for debate. There are some things that we look at and people's interpretation of Scripture may be different to someone else's interpretation of Scripture. And this is not one of those things. Shall I read it to you again? Jesus said, but if you do not forgive others their sin, your Father will not forgive your sin. And yet so many of us think it is okay to walk through life holding on to things and holding on to offense. And holding on to what has been done to us. And the only person, we're going to look at this a bit later on, the only person that is going to hurt is us. Why is it Jesus linked forgiveness to prayer? Because it's in the section on the Beatitudes when Jesus talks about how we pray. And it's simply this, that unforgiveness and bitterness builds a wall between you and God. And do you know what I think? And this is what I think. It is probably the number one reason people fall away from Christ. I know it's the number one reason people leave church. Right. There's been an offense. Somebody said something. Somebody's done something. Someone doesn't even realize that they've said something or done something. And people harbor unforgiveness and they harbor bitterness. And it pulls you out of the presence of God. Right. The number one reason I think people fall away from Jesus is because of unforgiveness. Unforgiveness, when left unchecked, will send you on a downward spiral away from God's presence and God's grace. God never moves. God never closes his presence to us and he never closes his grace. But when we walk around with sin and with unforgiveness in our lives, we cannot easily enter God's grace. Nelson Mandela said this. I've been reading a lot about him just recently. He said this, while we will not forget the brutality of apartheid, we will not want Robben Island to be a monument of our hardship and suffering. We would want it to be a triumph of the human spirit against the forces of evil, a triumph of wisdom and largeness of spirit against small minds and pettiness, a triumph of courage and determination over human frailty and weakness. I remember in 2008, I went to South Africa with my friend. She was preaching. I was carrying the suitcases. And so we went to South Africa, and we were having a great time. And it got to the part of the trip. We'd gone and we did 4 or 5 days preaching, and then we had 4 or 5 days holiday. And so our host said to us, okay, where do you want us to take you to? Now, if you ask me what I would want to do on a holiday, I'm not Miss Tourist. Okay, I have to be honest, I'd quite like a sun lounger near a pool with the sun blazing down on me and my earphones in, okay, so I can listen to music, preachers, whatever. That would be my idea of a heaven on holiday. Matt's idea of heaven on holiday would be finding out how many castles are in a certain mile radius around where we're staying and systematically go and visit all of them, okay? And so I wasn't in South Africa with Matt. I was in South Africa with someone of a similar heart and mind. And so they said to us at one point, do you want to go up Table Mountain? And we're like, no. We want to go shopping and we want to lie in the sun. Okay, and those of you who are tourists and like doing, you go, oh, that is sacrilege, you know. But then they said to us, oh, we'd love to take you to Robben Island. Now, at that, I was like, I'd love to go there. And so Robben Island was the place where Mandela was kept all those years. And we went to Robben Island, and we caught the ferry across, and we got off, and we were given 2 tour guides to take us around the island. So we were going around the island, and we saw the cell where Mandela was kept, and we were told all about the island, about what was life was like on the island, and it was incredible. I absolutely loved it. I do quite like history about people. I'm not so into history about buildings, but history about people, I absolutely love. And I'll never forget the moment at the end of the tour, these 2 tour guides stood before us. There was probably about 7 people in our party, and these 2 tour guides said, we just want to talk to you for a moment about forgiveness. And I'm like, huh? Okay. We've seen everything we need to see. Let's go to the gift shop. And I'm so deep, aren't I? Okay. And let's get back to the pool. And they said, we'd like to talk to you about forgiveness. And the first man said his name, and I can't remember what his name was. He said, and I was an inmate on the island. And the second man said his name. He said, and I was a guard on the island. And today we live together, and we have forgiven one another. I stood there going, forget the gift shop. Wow. One man was there. It was unjust. It was wrong. It was not fair. It was not his fault. The other man was there to punish him, to inflict harm on him, to be awful to him. And he was doing what he was told, yes, but he was still doing it. And yet today, if you visit Robben Island, you will find that both inmates and guards, they live together in peace. Forgiveness, you know, that they said that one of the greatest prisons that you have is bitterness. That's what these people told us on Robben Island. Yeah. He said, you know, the one man who was the inmate, he said, you know, you can see the walls and the stuff around here. That was our natural prison, but there is a greater prison that I could live in, and that would be the prison of unforgiveness. Yeah. And this morning, I want to bring this topic to us because I think so many of us carry things around with us. So many of us carry things in our spirit that God never intended us to carry. Unforgiveness will never lead to life and joy and all the things that we say we want. It will lead us down a path that leads us to destruction and that ultimately takes us away from the presence of God. Yeah. Right. Forgiveness is like open heart surgery, but without the anesthetic. Sorry, Lou. Okay? It is like heart surgery with no anesthetic. You know, I love the verses in Psalm 23 that says that surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I have goodness and I have mercy following me. I love it in the New Testament when God says that he would send another just like Jesus to be our comfort and our strength. But where it comes to forgiveness, where it comes to this issue, God doesn't numb the pain, but he does walk you through it. Because in a room of this size with this many people in it, we will all have a story to tell. We will all have something that has happened in our world at some point that has hurt us. And if we haven't already, get ready, because something will happen in life. Because we live in a world where bad things do happen to good people. I promise it's going to get a little bit happier this morning. But sometimes to get to the happy, we've got to walk through the pain. Sometimes to get to the happy, we've got to deal with the stuff that is in us. And when you come through this whole topic of unforgiveness and allowing God to heal your heart, when you come through that, you are healthier and happier and closer to Him because of it. Right. And I'm not standing here preaching theology to you, although it is theologically sound. I'm standing here preaching to someone who knows. Right. And who has gone through this on more than one occasion. Right. And so this morning, I want to look at four ways in which forgiveness will affect us. And we've got to be ready for it to affect us in these ways. Okay, are we ready?
Yeah.
Okay, number one. Forgiveness will compel us to be quiet.
Yes, that's right.
I could just sit down now, couldn't I? But forgiveness will compel us to be quiet. Do you know what? Forgiveness hasn't occurred in you if you are still pulling the other person down with your words.
Yeah.
How do you know forgiveness has happened in you? You stop talking about it. You stop talking about the person. You stop talking about what they've done. Do you know what? Your mouth can be the stumbling block to your freedom in this case. When you forgive, you release the other person from slander and gossip as much as it depends on you. I think there are two reasons why you wouldn't keep quiet, okay? So if these two reasons apply to you, great. If not, let's really think about this. Number one, okay, the first reason where you might not be quiet is if you are in therapy or pastoral help to get through the situation. You're not in there to talk about the situation. You're in there to get through it.
Right.
Yeah. You're in there to move on from it. You're in there to get help and to get the stuff. That I am a great believer in therapy. I'm trained in counseling. I'm a great believer in all of that. But I'm not a great believer in just doing that so that you can just talk about it. We've got to do that so we want to move on from where we are.
Yeah, yeah.
So if we're in therapy or there's that pastoral support that we need from one or maybe two people, then that is okay. And the second one, and I want to get this right out in the open at the beginning, is a reason to speak up is if there is a crime to be reported.
Right.
I've heard some Christians say and some preachers say, you know, it shows you don't forgive if you report it. I don't believe that at all.
No.
I don't believe that's biblical. I don't believe it's from God's heart. If a wrong has been done to you that is criminal, you should and you are free to report that.
Yeah. Yep.
Totally and utterly. I totally believe that. And in the day and age in which we live, we need to let people know that. But all the other stuff, forgiveness will compel us to shut our mouths. And this quietness is verbal, yes, but it is also, and you've got to include this when we preach these days, it's also the internet. Okay? So if we forgive, yet we are still slandering on social media, we've not forgiven. To totally release yourself from offense, you will stop talking about it. You will stop apportioning blame and stop slandering, however true your words may be. I've been in situations where what I'm saying is right, yet God wants to work in me so that I don't feel the need to keep saying it.
Right.
Maturity as a Christian will mean that you give yourselves and your hurt to God and allow Him to deal with it.
Yeah.
As we mature in Christ, as we mature in God, it will mean that when things happen to us, and things will, that actually we learn to deal with it differently than the world deals with it.
Yeah.
This is what the Bible says, you're in the world, but you're not of it. And so I want to really come home to us this morning that forgiveness will compel us to be quiet. I was reading one of my favorite scriptures the other day, and just God really spoke to me about this subject. It says this in Isaiah 30, verse 15. He says, in quietness and trust is your strength. And I've never looked at that to do with forgiveness or anything like that, but in quietness, I know that I am naturally a loud person. But sometimes quietness will be my strength.
Yeah.
And that quietness, you know, attached to trusting in God because he knows better than I know, that will be my strength. That will give me the strength sometimes to go through what I need to go through. Do you know what? We always think that the one who shouts the loudest is the strongest. But I'm telling you this morning, it takes more strength to forgive and shut up than to slander and keep bitter. More strength, more self-control. I remember a situation, probably one of the first situations that happened to me when I was just starting and training. I was living in Dagenham, and I won't tell you what the situation was, but this situation happened, and I remember my pastor at the time, Michael Jarvis, he came over to me, and he was a very well-spoken man, absolutely gorgeous man. I loved being in his church, and he came over to me, and he knew what was going on. He was the pastor of the church, and he just took my hands in his, and he said, "Joanne." They all called me by my full name, honestly. I always thought I was going to get told off. And when Pastor Jarvis did that, you're like, oh no, he really knows God. What's God told him? You know, and it's a bit like when David Sheerman would say that to me. And he just got hold of my hand and said, "Joanne, one of the most spiritual things in this situation, sweetheart, that you can do is just know you need to shut up." Right. And it's not because I'd been saying anything. He was preempting how I may respond. So in preempting it, it was just like, "Sweetie, you just need to be quiet. Let us deal with it. Let God deal with it in quietness and trust." Yeah. Not only trust in God, but trust in this man and in the organization that I was working for. In quietness and trust, your strength will come.
Yeah.
You see, this morning, if we are going to truly forgive, forgiveness will compel us to be quiet.
That's right.
Both verbally and on social media. Secondly, you all okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. Secondly, forgiveness will release you from distraction. Do you know what? Unforgiveness brings distraction into our spirit. Have you ever been in that place where there's some bitterness, some unforgiveness? You can't hear God the same. You open the Bible and you can't read it the same. And you're in worship and everyone seems to be like, you know, having this amazing time with God. And you're struggling with that. Forgiveness will release you from distraction.
Right.
We're distracted with what God has for us, okay, when we allow unforgiveness into our life. We struggle to focus on life and keep focusing on the incident. We struggle to focus on what life has got for us, okay, and we keep focusing on the incident that is playing over in our minds. When you forgive, you're released from all of that.
Right.
When you forgive, God releases you from that. Bitterness will lead you down a destructive path, but forgiveness opens up blessing like you cannot imagine in your life.
Right.
Nelson Mandela again said this, "The greatest glory in living lies not in never falling, but in using every time we fall." The Bible tells us that we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. And when we know Jesus, and Jesus is what the Bible was talking about there. Jesus said this in John 14, "I am the way and the truth and the life." When we know Jesus, we can actually be set free from those things that hold us back. He has the power to set us free from bitterness into a life of joy and peace in him that is not affected by what others do to us. When we go through this journey, and it is a journey, it's not a quick prayer fix it. Forgiveness is not an event, it's a process. And when we go through the process, there will be a return to confidence in our lives. There will be a return to knowing what God has for us. There will be a return to joy in our spirit. There will be a return of just being able to hear from God again, because our spirit's not distracted by all this stuff that's going on. This morning, I want to say to you, forgiveness will free you from distraction.
Yeah.
Are you going through your work life, your studying life, your life with God, distracted by things? It might not even be the incident. It could be anything. But actually, when you forgive and when you begin to go down this process, God begins to clear your mind, begins to clear your heart, begins to clear your spirit of those things, and you will be set free. There is freedom in forgiveness. Like, unless you've been down that road and unless you've gone through that, you will never know the power that it has. I do.
Yeah.
On more than one occasion where there's been hurt, it's had to have been, God, this is me and you. We're going to go through this. It flipping hurts right now.
Yeah.
But I don't want to be distracted from what you've got for me. Number three, forgiveness will redefine you.
Good.
I love this. We're getting on to a little bit more of the happy stuff now. The stuff where you can go, come on. Forgiveness will redefine you. Bitterness paints you as a victim, but forgiveness redefines you as a victor. Bitterness and forgiveness will paint you as the victim, but you don't know what they did. You don't know what they said. You don't know, how do you get past that? I can't be friends with that person. Well, in my mind, and this is what I've got to kind of think through in my mind, if an inmate and a guard can live on Robben Island together, then I can do life with whoever has just said something to me that has hurt me. Now then, there are times and there are things that happen to us that means we may not trust someone again. There is that. And we have to say that when we talk about a subject like this. But I think a lot of the time, the stuff that we find hard to forgive, there probably could be a friendship. Where there has been abuse, where there has been things like that happen in our world, I am not saying that we should go and build a relationship with that person. I actually don't believe that we probably should unless God absolutely tells us. But forgiveness will redefine you as a victor, not as a victim. Our scars can become a sign of victory instead of defeat. They can show what you have come through rather than what still holds you.
Yeah.
I can remember I used to counsel at a place called City Hearts, and one of the girls had come through self-harming. A lot of the women that were in the house took to self-harming. It was their only form of control. And I can remember in one of the meetings that I went to at Sheffield, one of our girls got up and she just showed the auditorium her arm. The scars were all there. And she said, this is no longer something I feel I need to cover up. This shows what I've come through rather than what holds me.
Right.
None of the scars were fresh. None of it was new. But as she moved forward, as the control that she needed came from God rather than from her mastering a circumstance or from her getting revenge on people, as she began to allow God to do something, her scars became a sign of victory, not defeat.
Right.
Do you know what? This morning, church, those scars that might be hidden for you, they may not be on your arms. They might be hidden in your heart. Those scars that are hidden, that you think make you a victim, that you think make it so that God can't use you, that you think make it so you can't do anything. Actually, when you learn to forgive, they become a sign of victory, not a sign of defeat.
Yeah.
God will literally redefine your thought life, redefine who you are, redefine what he speaks over you. As you begin the process of forgiving, when we let go of our bitterness, we have chance to redefine us in every way and redefine the path that our lives are taking. Do you know what? Bitterness impacts us in every way. It impacts the way that we look. Ladies, ole is not going to help when bitterness stays in there. They will show through the ole, okay? But as we begin to allow God in to soften us, to redefine us, to remake us, do you know what? You get your smile back. When you let go of stuff, when you let go of unforgiveness and bitterness, you get your smile back. Forgiveness doesn't play down what was done to you. Forgiveness doesn't mean what was done was okay. And forgiveness doesn't always mean that we forget. I read this week by a man called T.D. Jakes. Absolute powerhouse preacher he is. And he said this, forgiveness does not involve a literal forgetting. Forgiveness involves remembering graciously. I loved that.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of people say, does it mean that you forget? I haven't got spiritual amnesia where it comes to the things I've been through in my life. But I loved it. T.D. Jakes put it a lot better than what I could have done. Forgiveness involves remembering graciously. When you think of those people, maybe even of a circumstance, you remember graciously as you forgive. Do you know what? The most definitive moments in our life will happen not by us, but to us. The most defining moments in our life will happen to us. Because when things happen to us and it's out of our control, it is our response that will define who we're going to be in the next season of our life. When things happen to us, when other people do things, when circumstance does things to us, our response to those things will define who we're going to be in the next season of our life. We can make a decision to take the power away from those things by acting in a way that is contrary to them. Our human nature says, hold on to the grudge. Our human nature says, get back. Our human nature says, you know, they did this, so you can do this. Our human nature says it's okay to hold on to unforgiveness when this or this happens. But if that happens, you should go ahead and forgive. But we've got to remember, church, if you know Jesus Christ this morning, you don't live according to your human nature. There's another nature. Do you believe this morning? There's another nature that we live by, and that is the nature that God has put inside of us that says this, that follows the red letter words in the Bible that Jesus Christ himself said, you know, forgive those who have sinned against you just as I forgive you. Do you know what? I've done some things against God that are horrendous. I mess up. You mess up. And we come to God and say, God, will you forgive me? And God says, yes. How much more should we adopt the same attitude with one another? Right. Math talked last week about bearing with one another. How much more should we adopt the same attitude? Now, I'm not saying, like I've already said this morning, I want to keep reemphasizing this, that no one gets it wrong. I'm not saying that always there's a trust relationship built up again. But what I am saying is, do you know what? God comes and he does a work in you that is incredible. He will redefine you. He will redefine your future. He will redefine your spirit. He will redefine what is in you as you go on the journey to forgive. And fourthly, I'm going to bring this thing into land. Okay, fourthly, forgiveness opens up God's plan for your life. We can miss out so much on the plans of God when we walk with unforgiveness, but God's forgiveness opens up the plan for your life. When I was beginning to prepare this, probably a couple of months ago, I listened to one of my favorite preachers. And I listened to a preach on forgiveness by a man called R.T. Kendall. And if you want to know more about this subject, I was literally going to nick his preach, but then I thought, no, that's not right, okay, because it was that good. If you want to, you know, Google R.T. Kendall or get, you know, go on YouTube and put R.T. Kendall total forgiveness in, and you'll come up with the preach that he gave. But he told this story in the preach that absolutely, it was like it drove a knife into me. The Bible's described as a sword. And it was like something was driven straight through my heart as God began to speak to me. And R.T. Kendall told this story of a woman in the church that he was really struggling to forgive. He never said what she'd done, but he was really struggling to forgive her. And one morning he was leading Westminster Chapel in London, and he's an American guy, but totally believes that God wants to revive the UK, especially London. And he was sat on the platform in the days when all the preachers and leaders used to sit on the platform and look out to the congregation. I'm so glad I wasn't a leader in those days, okay? Because I'd have been quite naughty, I think, and pulled faces and all that kind of stuff. But as my youth pastor used to when I won't say what church I was in. But he tells this story about a time when he says it was the closest he's ever come to hearing the audible voice of God. And he sat there, and I've told a few of you this already, but he sat there and God spoke to him and said, R.T., do you want revival? Now, if you read R.T. Kendall's books, a lot of them are on the anointing, a lot of them are on revival and stuff like that. And he's like, God, you know I want revival. And he's struggling in his heart as he's, you know, praying and everyone else is worshiping and he's just struggling a little bit. And God says, so you want revival? I want revival. And he looked up and he could see the lady in the congregation that he was struggling to forgive. And God said to him, Artie, I'll give you one of two things. You can either have revenge on that woman or revival. And in the preach, he said, I'd love to say that I answered God straight away. In the end, he said, God, I want revival. And God said, then let it go. Let it go. Yeah. Frozen wasn't out then, so no song was sung. But God said, just let it go. Do you know what? Sometimes, Generations Church, the call of God will cost us something. Sometimes it will cost us our revenge. It will cost us our walking continually with offense. Sometimes if we want the things of God into our life, we've got to let go of those things that separate us from him. We've got to let go of those things that stop us fully coming into his presence. If we want God's plan to unfold in our life, for some of us this morning, we need to drop it. We need to let it go, whatever it is, whether it was something 30 years ago or longer, or whether it was something that happened this morning as you was driving with your family to church. Whatever it was, we need to let it go. And that doesn't mean, you know, that what was done was okay, but it means that we let God deal with it. Do you want revenge or do you want revival? And sometimes that's a tough question. I was sat in my office and he did an altar call at the end, and I was on my feet. Look, watching my iPad, just stood with tears streaming down. God, if you are going to ask me the question, it's revival. I want everything else to fall away because I want your plans and your purposes paid out for me. Do you know, forgiveness should be something that we walk in, that we clothe ourselves with, that becomes a daily spiritual covering that we put on ourselves. God, today, let's pray it first thing in the morning. Whatever happens today, God, I pray that my reactions will be sweet. I pray that I'll walk in forgiveness today. That whatever happens today, God, I pray I won't be dealing with it 10 years down the line. But God, I pray that today, as I go through my day, that God, your Holy Spirit will just help me to walk in forgiveness. The best illustration I could find of this was the illustration of the day that they nailed Jesus Christ to a cross. Jesus is always the best illustration. They were nailing him to a cross. They were casting lots for his clothing. They were spitting on him. They were torturing him. They were being horrible. And Jesus, in 10 words, spoke over what they were doing and left it totally empty. And these are the 10 words that he used. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus didn't say that in his resurrected body. When he'd come back and it was all okay, you know, and he's the risen Son of Christ, Son of God, and he's, you know, he's going to be going back to the Father, and as he's, you know, going up into the clouds to go back into heaven, God forgive them. Didn't say it then. He said it in his human form. He said it as a man who was being nailed to a cross. God, will you forgive them? They don't even get what they're doing, God. They don't get why I came. They don't get what is going to happen because of me hanging on a cross right now. But God, I came so you would forgive them. I came so you could have relationship with them. I came so that the divide between them and you is going to be broken once and for all. And this morning, I want to tell you, sometimes in the middle of life happening, you need to choose forgiveness. Sometimes in the middle of it happening, you need to say, God, I choose forgiveness. Do you know what? That's the bottom line. Forgiveness won't come because we set the atmosphere right. On that day when Jesus was on the cross, Richard was not in the corner playing I surrender all. But in the brutality of life happening to Jesus, he made a choice. Do you know what? Forgiveness isn't an emotion. It's not a feeling. It's not that warm, fuzzy feeling that we get, but it's a choice that we make in the cold light of day. I want to read you an excerpt from a lady called Corrie Ten Boom from her book. And it just says, this. This is a beautiful example of forgiveness from the life of Corrie ten Boom, the Dutch Christian who spent years in a concentration camp for helping Jews escape the Nazis. Some of the guards there were horrible to the woman in the camp, and there was one particularly that she described as especially loathsome. I think even in that, her spirit before God comes through, doesn't it? I don't know if I would describe them as especially loathsome. Several years after the war, Corrie ten Boom was speaking at a church service about forgiveness. When afterward an old man stepped forward, she immediately recognized him as that same guard. He told her how he had become a Christian after the war. Then he extended his hand and asked her, "Do you forgive me?" Says this in Corrie's book. I had to take the man's hand, I knew that. The message that God forgives has a prior condition, that we forgive those who have injured us. Yeah. I told myself, I can lift my hand, I can do that much. Jesus, you supply the feeling. And as I reached out my hand, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, raced down my arm, sprang into our joined hands, and then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. "I forgive you, brother," I cried, "with all my heart." For a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and the former prisoner. I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then. But this is what it started with. I can hold his hand, God, I can do that much. For some of you, you're waiting for the feeling. For some of you, you're waiting for the apology. For some of you, you're waiting for the time to be right. For some of you, I don't know what you're waiting for. But this morning, I want to say it's time to stop waiting. Whatever has happened to you, I cannot change. I wish I could. Because I know some of the stories sat in this room. But what I can do is tell you the truth. If you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. This morning, let's start with a choice. Let's start with a decision. And let's believe that the rest will follow. But it starts with a choice. This morning, forgiveness will compel us to keep quiet. Forgiveness will release us from distraction. It will redefine us, and it will take us directly into the center of God's will. If you want all of those things, there's one choice you need to make, and that is that you will forgive, whatever it is. It could be a massive thing in your life. It could be a minute thing in your life that feels like a massive thing in your life. I'll be honest with you, I sometimes struggle with those things more than the big things in my life. So this is what we're going to do. I'd like Richard to come out, but I don't want you to play anything yet, mate, okay? Because we're just going to make a decision. This is what we're going to do. We're going to have 2 minutes in a moment. And it's going to show up on the screen, so there's going to be a visual. After 2 minutes, I'm going to pray. But if this morning you know, do you know what? I just need to forgive. I've got this bitterness, I've got this grudge, I've got this unforgiveness, and this morning, it starts with a choice. This is what I want you to do. As the countdown is going down, I want you to stand to your feet, and you can say this as loud or as quietly as you want, okay? Because I don't want to embarrass anyone. But you're going to say, "I choose to forgive, God. Make it my choice." And there's no music in the background. And there's no, you know, funny feeling up and down your spine and all that kind of stuff. This is just a choice. Because do you know what? Tomorrow morning, he's not going to be there. Tomorrow morning, we're not going to be sat like this. Tomorrow morning is Monday morning. Tomorrow morning might be the morning you see the person. Tomorrow morning, you might wake up and not feel like forgiving. But you made a choice on Sunday. And because we make a choice, we're going to stick with the choice. And so I want you to stand to your feet and as loudly or quietly as you want to say it, "God, I choose to forgive." And then I'm going to pray after 2 minutes. Thanks, guys. Let's pray. God, I thank you this morning that you forgave us. I thank you, Jesus, that when you died, you tore, the Bible says, the veil in two between us and God. And I thank you this morning that you chose to forgive us. Lord God, I thank you this morning for people all around this room. God, I don't know all their stories, but God, you do. And Lord, I thank you that you see our life as a whole. And God, you see what has happened to us. And Father God, I pray that God, you will help us in the coming days, in the coming weeks, to keep this a choice that we keep going over and over again. Father, Lord, I pray if we do need that counsel, that you will help us to find it. Lord God, I pray, Lord, for those who might need to go and report something, that God, you will give us strength. God, I thank you that the Holy Spirit is sent as a comforter. And Lord God, this morning, I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ, that God, you will help us. God, I stand with them. God, that you will help us to carry out our choice this morning. God, a choice that we made before you. We're not making it before one another, Father. We make it before you. And I pray right now in Jesus' name that God, as we begin to carry out that choice, as the process begins to take place, Lord, I pray that you will guard us, that you will protect us, and that your Holy Spirit will give us strength and comfort as we go through this. And Lord God, I pray that the feelings will follow. Lord, that feeling of being in your presence, that feeling of you being with us, that feeling of love, like Corrie ten Boom wrote in her book, that intense feeling of the love of God as we begin to let go of the situations that have held us back, Father. God, in Jesus' name this morning, we choose to forgive. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will help us. In Jesus' name, amen.